You can get there from here, but there's no going home. Every place you go will be a place you've never been. Try this. Drive down Mississippi 49. Follow it to its natural conclusion, the beach at Gulfport, where the riggings of shrimp boats are like loose stitches in a sky that's threatening rain. Cross the narrow beach, 28 miles of sand poured out on an old mangrove swamp, hiding the terrain of the past. Bring only what you must, a book of your memory with the random pages blank. On the pier, when you get on the boat for Ship Island, they will take your picture. The photograph, who you were back then, will be waiting for you when you return. This poem is called Theories of Time and Space. It's written by Natasha Trethewey, our latest Pulitzer Prize-winning poet from Mississippi. My home in Mississippi these days is a place that continues to amaze me with the giftedness of writers, poets, essayist, and novelist. It has been observed that we have so many wonderful writers because we have so much to explain. I prefer, however, that we have so much to explore. Why did they stand looking up? Let's refer it to the committee. A minority report and a majority report. Were they right to stand up and stare up? Were they wrong to stare up? If you think they were right to remain staring up, press 1. If you think they were wrong, press 2. No, this is a wonder, this text for today. It's God's latest wonder. And this moment in time, this mysterious moment in time, which the scripture seeks to capture in words of people that are always inadequate to express mystery and majesty and wonder, have been problematic for us through the years. This was the text on which they nailed Galileo. This world has to be flat. No other configuration. Why else would they stand looking up? Why else did God go up? But this morning, on this Ascension Remembering General Conference ending morning, it's important for us to explore this moment in time, this great Christian mystery which illuminates all the mysteries of our faith. From the movement of God, as we look up toward a blue Advent sky, God is coming, and we look down into a manger where God, a child, lies. Up again to the star, bright, beckoning Magi to come from afar. Then down into baptismal water, up onto a mount of temptation, and then out among the people, casting out demons and healing, feeling pressed back by the rejection of that hometown crowd, up on a mountain to sit and to teach, being pushed back by the religious authorities, up on a mountain for a moment of transfiguration, and then down into a very long Lenten journey, up upon the back of a donkey, palm branches waving in the air, down against denial and betrayal and danger and death, up on a cross, down into a tomb, up alive, appearing behind closed doors, mysteriously present in the breaking of bread, on a beach, cooking fish, and now in this moment, ascended above all things, filling this entire universe with the power and love and light of God. We've been here for quite a while, and during these days, We have been in all of these holy and mysterious places. There have been moments of anticipation. There have been moments of great joy. There have been Lenten times. There have been transfigured moments. There have been moments of temptation. There have been moments of teaching. There have been moments of pushing back. But the mystery of this Ascension Remembering Day is the great, great truth of God's mystery, which illuminates all those moments in our lives. Christ's journey in all those ups and downs and ins and outs is illumined by this Ascension mystery. And it is indeed a mystery. In the American novel, The Secret Life of Bees, a young girl named Lily is mystified by a ritual that her welcomers and caregivers are engaged in. They are worshipers of Mary, and they speak of the ascension of Mary into heaven. Lily is mystified by their words. And so she says to her wise mentor and caregiver, August, "What does it mean that Mary went up, up, up?" August replied, "Oh, Lily," placing her hand over her own heart, "she did not go up, up, up so much as she went in, in, in." We give thanks for every mysterious and wondrous movement of God in our midst. And we hold before God, as we hear this text and explore it this morning, our souls and our spirits, because we want to hear this fresh word of God. The invitation to the church on this day of ascension is really a very strange invitation. It's an invitation to wait. Wait? What do you mean wait? We have agendas. It is an invitation to remember that there are things that we are not to know. What do you mean not know? I know, and my speech is ready. I'm very sure. It is an invitation to receive the Spirit. It is an invitation to be a witness. A witness. A witness. I'm ready to make a disciple this day. I'm ready to proclaim what I know is true. Well, the word of this day is very different. It's a gentle and powerful invitation of our God to wait. To acknowledge that all has not been given. To hope toward the coming of the promised Spirit. To go forth and watch for it wherever it may be breaking in. It calls from us a new and wondrous humility. We will go forth from this place and people will ask us, "What have you decided?" And there'll be many answers. There will even be annotated notes so that we will understand what we have decided. But I hope, as you are asked that question, that you will answer a question also that you wish they had asked. And that question is this: what did you learn? What did you learn? Because, friends, in this time together, we have learned much about the movement of God's Spirit. We have learned much about one another. Our horizons have been expanded. Our senses have been awakened. We have recognized the limitations of parliamentary processes and minority and majority reports to say what it is we yearn to say to the world. We have recognized that we want to find ways to be engaged with one another in dialogue in a way that will help us grow in even stronger ways toward this future with hope that God is giving. Not a future that we create, but a future that God is giving to us. What have we learned? Let us watch. Let us wait. Let us be ready to receive, that we may be witnesses of God's latest gift. We are a hopeful people. This hope is so very obvious as we think about the wonder of the ascended Christ reigning over all things. This hope is not from within. This hope comes as a great gift. And the future with hope that we celebrate and that we have remembered day by day by day through this general conference is the future that God is giving. And Christ is beckoning us, come, 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 come toward me, come toward me. Reach out to all God's people. Be alert and ready and attentive and receptive. You will be my witnesses. You will see the movement of my Spirit. You will be aware that I go before you to Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is no place where I am not present. After the terrorist attacks on New York City, my husband traveled 5 months later to Afghanistan for a wheat distribution. And in this dangerous and conflicted and war-torn land at that moment, they entered a village to distribute wheat to those who had tickets to receive. The villages had self-organized in such a way that villagers who were most in need could express that need, and they were given a ticket. And when my husband and the others arrived in the village, the villagers were present with their tickets, and the wheat distribution unfolded. Bags were filled with wheat, and many were helped. In the midst of the distribution, a man arrived, obviously very much upset. His hands were empty. He had no ticket. He appeared in the midst of the people, and across the barrier of language, it was obvious that he was begging for grain. It was a tense moment. Up on the rooftops all around the village square, there were armed guards. The air was tense. There was a moment of waiting. There was a time of anxiety. And then, one of the men who had received a full bag of wheat stepped forward out of the crowd toward the man who was begging and had no ticket. His small child stepped forward with him as well, and the child had been given by his father an empty bag. The child held the bag open, and the man with the full bag loosened up the strings, and he scooped out a double handful of wheat, and he emptied it into the empty bag. In silence, another stepped forward and loosened their bag and emptied a double handful of wheat in the empty bag. And one by one, the villagers who had received the wheat shared a double handful until the bag was full and was tied up. And the man who had no ticket placed it on his back, and he and his son began the very long walk home. Our ascended Christ is present in every place. After Hurricane Katrina, our Chibazo partner friends in Zimbabwe told us that in a United Methodist Church way out in the country in Zimbabwe, someone rose in Sunday worship to say, "Where is Mississippi, where there has been a big storm? What direction is it?" Lord Naroda, our friend, among these people, stood and said, "I think it's that way." And the entire congregation spontaneously arose, and their hands all went toward us, so far away, as they prayed. Christ reigns in every place. Christ reigns over all that we are. Christ reigns over everything that we do. And in this general conference ending day, we know that the ascended Christ is with us. I have in my pocket yet another gift from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You received broken things several days ago on your desk, those of you who are delegates. These broken things were collected on the altars of churches in Mississippi and Louisiana. The invitation was given to people to look and see what they might bring from their homes, broken things from the storm, 2.5 years later. And in very moving worship services, these things were brought forward. I have in my pocket this morning a bent spoon that was brought forward. The woman who brought this spoon forward held it tight in her hand, and she said, "For 2.5 years, I haven't been able to throw away this bent spoon. I don't know why. I just couldn't toss it in the trash. But you've invited me to put it on the altar so that it might be taken to the general conference. And this morning I bring it forward and I lay it there. And I lay it there so that it will go to that place." As we lay this symbol of brokenness on the altar this morning, in front of the beautiful, beautiful cross made of broken things, we know that every hope and every hurt of this life are laid here before the cross of the ascended Christ. And we give thanks that this ascension power is released in all the world and into our hearts and out before us. After the global gathering in Kansas City, I went tired and weary with my suitcase to get on the shuttle. I got on the airport shuttle and went to the very back. There were two men sitting on the back seat of the shuttle. They didn't appear to have been at their meeting. In fact, they had on work clothes and they were headed to the airport. One of them, older, was very friendly and talkative. The other, younger, was very quiet. The older one asked me, "You coming or going?" "Going," I said. "Where are you going?" "Going home." "Where's home?" I told him. "Where have you been?" "At a large gathering of United Methodists." And he said, "I became a Methodist in prison." I continued to listen to his story as he told me on the way to the airport a long, long story of his life and of his conversion in prison through the ministry of our church. As we got very near to the airport, he continued to speak, and as the van drove to the first stop, the younger man who had said nothing arose to get off the shuttle, and my new, very talkative friend tapped him on the back with great love and said, "Son, have a good day at work." The younger man got off the shuttle, and my talkative friend said to me, "You know, they can't get work out here, those young folks in the city, so I get them jobs. I get them jobs out here at the airport." We rode on to the next shuttle stop. And as he prepared himself to get off the shuttle, he turned to me and he said, "God bless you as you go. God bless you as you go." How glorious it is to be a witness to the way God is moving in the world beyond this place. God continues to be alive and active in the world. God continues to beckon us forward. God says to us, "Be strong, stand, receive. Let my love rain down upon you. Wait and watch. You shall receive the Spirit." Every thought we have, every word we speak, this whole expansive world and this present moment are all in God's hands. Thanks be to God.